Scientists Exposed radio show, part of the Freedomizer Radio Network. Yes, we trust science. It's just scientists we don't trust. Visit madscientists.exposed for many ways to listen or call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air. Again, that number is 319-527-6208. And now, here's our lead investigator, Suzanne.
Hi, and welcome to another exciting episode of Mad Scientist Exposed. And boy, are mad scientists being exposed all over the place. I just watched the rally in Oregon, Salem, Oregon. I guess Salem is the capital, must be the capital of Oregon. And they're considering a bill there to remove all religious and philosophical exemptions to vaccines, plus make medical exemptions nearly impossible to get, even for kids that are already damaged by vaccines. And by damage, I mean brain damaged, skin damaged, autoimmune diseases, all kinds of chronic illnesses, and have a bureaucrat sniff out and review every medical exemption a doctor wants to write for a patient. And this is way, way government overreach, and it was a huge crowd. I'm so glad, you know, people are learning from what's happened in California and what's happened in New York with government bureaucrats goose-stepping all over the public. And it's just not going to stand. And they're having a heck of a time in New York now with all the court filings against these mandates in Rockland County over measles outbreaks. And people, it seems pretty evident to me that parents are choosing measles for their kids over the vaccines, because once you're over the measles, you're over the measles, and you're not dealing with chronic illness the rest of your life, and you're permanently immune if you have the natural disease. A vaccine, the proof that vaccines don't work is how many boosters you need, booster after booster after booster after booster. It's pretty obvious that the science just ain't there. And among some of these lawsuits, the ICANDecide.org organization, that's Del Bigtree's organization, and the Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s organization, the Children's Health Defense.org, they've been suing government agencies, FOIA requests, and all kinds of stuff. And they've forced the HHS to concede that, in fact, they've never done any safety studies for vaccines. They've been faking it with vaccine versus vaccine studies. And if one vaccine doesn't make you any sicker than the other vaccine, then it's deemed safe. But there's been no studies whatsoever, even retroactively. And there are populations out there that have refused vaccines. They can do the studies to compare the unvaccinated versus the vaccinated as far as health outcomes. And, you know, the doctors out there, pediatricians, some of them are just reviewing their own data or having, you know, statistical you know, specialists come in and analyze their own patient data over their last, you know, couple decades or however long they've been pediatricians, and they're finding, yes, indeedy, the unvaccinated kids are healthier than the vaccinated kids. And that's just not not studies that the vaccine manufacturers want to admit exist. They don't want to discuss them. But, you know, there's hashtag out there now, do the study. Because anytime somebody gets in your face and says, oh, well, all the studies say vaccines are safe, you can be kind and say, and you don't have to say you're lying, but you can say you've been lied to. You can't show me that study. Go ahead and find it. I'll wait. You go find it and come back and show me. And if it's not unvaccinated or inert saline versus an actual vaccine, if it's, you know, you can look at it. If it's vaccine versus vaccine, it's part of the fraud. So anyway, so that was fun to watch. You can go see that on the Live Wire. I'm sorry, the High Wire is the Del Bigtree channel. He was the producer of the movie Vaxxed, where he they covered the first of three vaccine CDC whistleblowers to come out and explain, yes, there really is fraud going on with the data and the number cooking and all that stuff. But it was just a wonderful rally to watch in Oregon today. Just thousands of people, crowds and crowds and crowds, and signs and signs and signs. in right outside the Capitol, the state Capitol building there, because of that bill is under consideration through the committees. And, you know, they've gotten word, well, they're going to ram it through a couple of committees, but people are just very straightforward. We're not going to comply. You can't make us this is discrimination against healthy children, total healthy children versus your sickly vaccinated children. And we're not going to put up with it. And I'm sure if it came to it, it'll end up in court too. Now, I don't know what kind of court system Oregon has. I don't know. But the New York court system seems to be listening to the side of civil rights. So we'll see. This is not a medical question. This is not a science question. This is a legal question. Civil rights question, whether you have the right to decide what medical procedures you're going to undergo, whether you have the right to decide for your children or have a government bureaucrat who's never met them decide what medical procedures they'll undergo. And we'll just see how it all plays out. This is the American Second Civil War, you know, where forcing stuff against you, injecting things into your skin, that really, really crosses the line. And Del Bigtree had quotes from the Nuremberg trials this time. Not only somebody, a lawyer came up and she read from the Declaration of Independence, and that was very powerful. And Del Bigtree came up and he read from the documents of the Nuremberg trials on how you cannot force quote unquote medical experiments on people. They need prior informed consent. They need prior information from which they consent or not consent. You can't just do this to them and then call them part of a retroactive study, which is really what, if you download package inserts from the FDA website, and read them, they give you expected adverse reactions. And, oh, well, a sore spot and maybe a fever for a day, a little fever, you know, maybe that's about it. And then they go into the post-marketing adverse reactions, and it's this huge list of horrible, horrible stuff that came on people right after their vaccines. And that is the post-marketing study. Because they've never actually done or published safety studies on vaccines, you become part of the post-marketing study. And did you agree to be part of the government study? Did you agree to be a government lab rat by following these mandated vaccines, this CDC schedule? Did you agree to that? Did anybody tell you you were part of an experiment? Because if not, oh man, the Nuremberg Code is going to come right down. Now, of course, Americans generally don't acknowledge courts above their own Supreme Court. And so we can cite the Nuremberg thing, though, just as everybody agrees that what happened back then was horrible. All the human experimentation in the death camps. In Germany and companies countries that they had occupied, and so there were a bunch of doctors who they went on trial and they said, well, everybody else was doing it, all the other doctors were doing it, and all of all of the government officials told us we could do it, and that didn't fly. They got convicted anyway. So this isn't going to stand. I mean, we know the science fraud that's been going on. So anyway, so the UN, of course, came out a few weeks ago and called vaccine skeptics a major world health threat. You know, even though the people that are vaccinated are the sicker people, the healthy people who are vaccine skeptics, we're the threat. We're the threat. Anyway, so now the UN is putting out another paper because they can't make it die fast enough, and this vaccine charade is collapsing. You know, they were gonna vaccinate us all at once, and one big giant personally delivered bioweapon. They were gonna vaccine all at once because they were gonna come up with a scary pandemic, and what's more scarier than maybe Ebola and people bleeding from their eyeballs? And that's horrible. That's horrible. But there is evidence that was engineered. But anyway, so there's an interesting article on naturalnews.com, and these both in. I have a couple articles lined up, and they kind of expose the world agenda. So let's see. Oh, come on, pop-ups. Let's see. Now, where's the one about people? The really recent one? Come on, come on, come on. Let me find this. No, oh, come on. I just saw it. I just saw it, and now I lost it. Are globalists faking a global Ebola pandemic to demand mandatory vaccines for everyone? And this is dated just yesterday by Ethan Huff of the Mike Adams suite of websites. So this article appears on naturalnews.com, newstarget.com, probably vaccines.news, you know, a bunch of various websites like that. And they've got this map with red hot spots all over the world map, and Africa is the darkest red, and different parts of different continents have these red splotches on them. We've all seen this scenario before. The mainstream media drums up fear over an alleged disease pandemic for the purpose of scaring the public into accepting some new vaccine as, quote, the cure. Well, it's back again, this time with the Ebola virus, which the power, and it, now you got to pay attention here. A vaccine is never a cure. A vaccine is a preventative. Supposedly, that's how they're sold, as a preventative so that you won't get the disease. If you've already gotten the disease, a vaccine ain't going to help you, and it's probably going to make you worse. So they're thinking in terms of eradicating from humanity rather than helping the individual. And that's just not going to fly anymore. People aren't going to do the human sacrifice thing anymore. It's over. Anyway, so it goes on. Well, it's back again, this time with the Ebola virus, which the powers that be are once again trying to use as a vehicle to push universal mandatory vaccination. I remember being so horrified when the Ebola thing blew itself out about 4 or 5 years ago, 2014, 2015, something like that. It blew itself out. And there were scientists who actually published articles, interviews, and things like that. They were disappointed that it blew itself out too fast to have produced a vaccine. They didn't get to study it long enough to produce a vaccine. People just got over it or met their demise too soon. The suffering hadn't gone on long enough for them to finish their science. And they were just damn disappointed about it. And I'm like, what the hell? You're for human suffering so you can go play in your Tinker Toy Ebola sandbox with your, you know, 4 or 5 different shapes of the Ebola virus and make a different vaccine for each one. It's just horrifying to see these people. This is, you know, in the last Ebola crisis, that's how I started blogging as under the madscientist.exposed website and eventually doing this show. And because these people are cold as ice. These people have stone heart. They have no conscience. They have no compassion. And we thought we saw the end of that with the end of World War II. We thought we had stamped it out, but we didn't. These people are born every generation completely, completely self-centered in their own careers and just the fun they have in experimenting on other people, like bully boys pulling the wings off flies. It's just hard. Only these people are, you know, damaging the brains in other people's babies or even killing other people's babies. Anyway, you know, we have to pay attention. These people are sick. Anyway, the powers that be are once again trying to use as a vehicle to push universal mandatory vaccination. As part of the ruse, the World Health Organization Emergency Committee recently issued a statement of deep concern over what it claims is an increase in the number of Ebola transmissions occurring throughout the Democratic Republic of the Congo. According to the agency, Ebola is now on the verge of spreading to neighboring countries, quote-unquote, having supposedly already caused as many as 800 deaths in the Congo just since August, the implication being that something needs to be done immediately to address the threat. Now, I'll remind you, too, that they've been turning away known cures that actually cure people because they're not patented drugs. There are a series of very simple, unpatentable things that they can try, some electric current, microcurrents that the person doesn't feel, but it will kill viruses in their bodies. Another is supposedly the silver stuff works. Now, the only time I actually tried the silver stuff was on this antifungal fungus. It didn't do a whole lot for me, and I found a different thing, which was the red and blue lights. But this Ebola thing, there's a lot of published science on vitamin C. They haven't found a virus yet that they can't kill without high dose vitamin C. And that includes HIV, you know, and you just find the papers, and there's links to papers. There's the, Andrew Soule on YouTube, and Dr. Suzanne Humphreys. They have video talks, and they have links to the science and links to the studies on their websites. And everything, there's orthomolecular medicine. What is it called? It's a great, they put out like press releases. Let me find it. There it is. Checking my bookmarks here. Orthomolecular.org. All kinds of vitamin C studies on that website, the direct studies, and searchable. And just, they haven't found a virus yet. And if Ebola is a virus, then this it's worth a try. And it's kind of known that the UN and their little medical clinics in the Congo have been turning away, and the other countries have been turning away this the simple stuff, the stuff that works, because it's not patentable. The big pharma isn't going to provide that stuff, isn't going to address it. There's just an agenda going on, and it's either for money or it's to intentionally cause these deaths, because they want a crisis. They want to gin up a crisis to force everybody to line up and get their vaccines, and then they can just pull the trigger. They get people trained to rolling up their sleeves for the big world government, and then they can just say, do a massive eugenics campaign, which there's other articles here that prove that that's actually what they want. So, and it's not even Alex Jones. He's been saying this for years, but other people are recognizing that's what's going on. And anyway, according to the agency, Ebola is now on the verge of spreading to the neighboring countries. Okay, we read that part. To ratchet up the fear-mongering even more, the World Health Organization claims that there were 100 reported new cases of Ebola just in the week leading up to its announcement. Of course, echoing back to the so-called Ebola pandemic that ravaged much of West Africa between the years 2013 and 2016. And it just so happens that this time around, there's an experimental vaccine waiting in the wings that helps. Authorities claim is up to 97% effective against Ebola. Yeah, they kind of stretched it out. Okay, next time we launch Ebola, we're going to have this vaccine ready. we did a little prematurely, got our horse before the cart, or cart before the horse last time. And this time we're ready. Anyway, according to the Truth and Liberty blog, the Bayer Corporation, which now owns Monsanto, partnered up with Merck and Company to develop this experimental Ebola vaccine, which, though it remains unlicensed at the current time, is being pushed by the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, AHF, for expedited approval by the World Health Organization. Who are they to approve anything? Okay? It's supposed to go through our own CDC, our own HHS and CDC, but of course we know the HHS doesn't ever do any vaccine safety studies. So, I don't acknowledge this World Health Organization. We're not party to this. Anyway, and it would appear that with just the right amount of media propaganda, this will be easily achieved in the name of quote-unquote protecting public health. CDC actually owns the patent on the GMO Ebola virus strain. Is that what's spreading throughout Africa? Another interesting little tidbit about this latest Ebola quote-unquote outbreak is that it just so happens to mesh with a patent owned by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, that's CDC without the P, on the strain of Ebola virus known as Ebobun, which more than likely was genetically engineered, GMO, as a bioweapon for the purpose of catalyzing the events necessary to bring Ebola vaccines to market. It is being reported that the CDC's patent on Ebobun applies not just to the current known strain, but also to all future ones that share at least 70% of Ebobun's genetics. A look at the patent itself reveals that it has a list of inventors, writes Scott A. Keisler for the Truth and Liberty blog. Well, that's not unusual. Patents are often, particularly corporately owned patents, have long lists of inventors on them, because it's a team effort, these scientists. And you also have ranking scientists who have nothing to do with the science, have nothing to do with the invention, but they're like the head manager of that department, so their name goes on there too. Anyway, Does Ibuban's invention imply that it has been genetically modified by scientists, or even that Ebola itself is a man-made bioweapon, as many have long suspected? He asks. This is Scott Keisler for the Truth and Liberty blog. Either way, it's only a matter of time before big pharma, public health authorities, and the mainstream media achieve their perfect storm outbreak scenario, to which they can then unveil their solution in the form of a vaccine injection that they will then deceive the public into thinking is the miracle cure. And vaccines don't cure anything. They're supposed to be preventative. They don't cure a thing that the world has been waiting for. In Keisler's view, the conspiracy could run even deeper, with the World Health Organization unveiling an Ebola vaccine that appears to work with minimal or no side effects, to which health authorities will then proclaim, see, vaccines really are safe and effective. Well, that's not the point of an Ebola vaccine. I beg to differ with Ethan Huff, the author here. Anyway, Big Pharma and the fake news media would then pontificate endlessly about the safeness and wonder of vaccines and lament tirelessly over the ignorance and general maliciousness of the tinfoil hat-wearing anti-vaccination knuckle-draggers, Keisler writes, except that proving that vaccines are safe and making a lot of money on the Ebola vaccine, that might be the initial cherry on top of the cake for these people. But the real people at the top, the top of the top of the top of the UN and the World Health Organization, is the extermination of humanity by at least 90%. And that has been they just put out a paper to that. Let's see. I know I have the tab open here. Now, this is linked from the front page of Drudge today, the Drudge Report, and he's like the front page of America's news. He seems to drive the news cycle. What's interesting to him, other people, everybody else finds fascinating too. So he links to this. Now, Yahoo News, and there's actually several websites carrying this story. 1 million species risk extinction due to humans, a draft UN report says. This is Marlo Hood of AFP. Who's AFP? April 23rd, that's today. Agency France Presse. Ooh, and that's all in French, so. They've got a picture of, it looks like somebody in Peru looking over terraced hillsides, which I don't have a problem with that if it's farming, but anyway, they're implying that those are damaged hillsides. Paris, AFP, up to 1 million species face extinction due to human influence, according to a draft UN report obtained by AFP that painstakingly catalogs how humanity has undermined the natural resources upon which its very survival depends. The accelerating loss of clean air, drinkable water, CO2-absorbing forests, pollinating insects, protein-rich fish, and storm-blocking mangroves. Have you heard of storm-blocking mangroves before? I haven't. I thought mangroves were kind of like cat-o'-nine-tails. I thought they were like swamp reeds. I have to look up mangroves. To name but a few of the dwindling services rendered by nature. Nature services, huh? Poses no less of a threat than climate change, says the report, set to be unveiled on May 6th. Indeed, biodiversity loss and global warming are closely linked, according to the 44-page summary for policymakers, which distills an 1,800-page UN assessment of scientific literature on the state of nature. Delegates from 130 nations meeting in Paris from April 29th will vet the executive summary line by line. Wording may change, but figures lifted from the underlying report cannot be altered. We need to, but maybe they were already cooked, like we know the climate change ones were. We need to recognize that climate change and loss of nature are equally important, not just for the environment, but as a development and economic issues as well. Robert Watson, chair of the UN-mandated body that compiled the report, told AFP without divulging its findings. A UN-mandated body. The way we produce our food and energy is undermining the regulating services that we get from nature. Yeah, we're just consumers. We're just useless eaters. He said, adding that only transformative change can stem the damage. Deforestation and agriculture, according to livestock production, account for about a quarter of greenhouse gas emissions and have wreaked havoc on natural ecosystems as well. Well, you know, I think the regreening of the Sahara is proceeding along, and the reforestation of the Amazon is proceeding along. What the hell is he talking about? Mass extinction event. The Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, IPBES, report warns of an imminent rapid acceleration of the global rate of species extinction. The pace of loss is, quote, already tens to hundreds of times higher than it has been on average over the last 10 million years, it notes. This is baloney. They're not even citing even one paper, but I guess we'll have to see what they cite in May. Half a million to a million species are projected to be threatened with extinction, many within decades. Many experts think a so-called mass extinction event, only the sixth in the last half billion years, is already underway. The most recent saw the end of the Cretaceous period some 66 million years ago when a 10-kilometer-wide asteroid strike wiped out most life forms, including the dinosaurs. Scientists, except unless you want to count chickens, as the descendants of the dinosaurs, scientists estimate that Earth is today home to some 8 million distinct species, a majority of them insects. I think it's more than that. I think it's a lot more than that, and I don't think they can count them. A quarter of cataloged animal and plant species are already being crowded, eaten, or poisoned out of existence. The drop in sheer numbers is even more dramatic. The wild mammal biomass, their collective weight down by 82%. Humans and livestock account for more than 95% of mammal biomass. So the hell what? So the hell what? Population growth. If we're going to have a sustainable planet that provides services, it's not that we're integrated with nature and nature needs us as much as we need it. No. We're not the children of nature. We're not. The flower of nature, none of that. We're just the parasites. And you better get that message from the UN. We're just parasites. If we're going to have a sustainable planet that provides services to parasitic communities around the world, now I inserted the word parasitic, we need to change this trajectory in the next 10 years, like on a geologic scale, like that's ridiculous. Just as we need to do that with climate, noted WWF Chief Scientist Rebecca Shaw, formerly a member of the UN scientific bodies for both climate and biodiversity. The direct causes of species loss in order of importance are shrinking habitat and land use change, hunting for food or illicit trade in body parts, climate change pollution, and alien species such as rats, mosquitoes, and snakes that hitched rides on ships or planes, the report finds. Well, they're not alien species, they're invasive species. That's different. There are also two big indirect drivers of biodiversity loss and climate change, she says. The number of people in the world and their growing ability to consume, said Watson. You're just a consuming parasite. You don't plant farms. You don't plant trees. You don't contribute to, desalinization projects. Humanity does nothing. None of that. No. Once seen as primarily a future threat to animal and plant life, the disruptive impact of global warming has accelerated. If only they could prove it. Shifts in the distribution of species, for example, will likely double if average temperature go up a notch from 1.5 degrees Celsius to 2 degrees Celsius, which amounts to, what, about 2 or 3 degrees Fahrenheit. So far, the global thermometer has risen 1 centigrade Celsius compared with the mid-19th century levels. The 2015 Paris Agreement enjoins nations to cap the rise to well below 2 degrees Celsius, but a landmark UN climate report in October said that would still be enough to, I think they meant the word not, would still be enough to boost the intensity and frequency of deadly heat waves, droughts, floods, and storms. Global iniquity, next subsection. Other findings in the report include 3/4 of land surfaces, 40% of the marine environment, and 50% of inland waterways across the globe have been severely altered. If you stuck your toe in it, you altered it. Many of the areas where nature's contribution to human well-being will be most severely compromised are home to indigenous peoples and the world's poorest communities that are also vulnerable to climate change. So does this kind of reads to me like they're picking on the poorest among us? The hut dwellers do the most damage versus the factories that dump their sludge. Not sure what that paragraph means. More than 2 billion people rely on wood fuel for energy. 4 billion rely on natural medicines. And more than 75% of global food crops require animal pollination. Nearly half of the land and marine ecosystems have been profoundly compromised by human interference in the last 50 years. Subsidies to fisheries, industrial agriculture, livestock raising, forestry, mining, and the production of biofuel or fossil fuel energy encourage waste, inefficiency, and overconsumption. Even though forestry and the lumber industries, they plant like 2 new trees for every 1 tree they chop down. That's, you know, insane. Of course, maybe that's just the third world countries do that. I don't know. And we stay out of that by staying out of the Paris Accord. We don't want to be tethered to other countries' progress. Caution against climate change solutions that may inadvertently harm nature. Oh, don't try to fix it. We're the experts. You don't try to fix it. You don't go it alone. Oh, Mr. Trump, we're going to come get you. The use, for example, of biofuels combined with carbon capture and storage, the sequestration of CO2 released when biofuels are burned, is widely seen as key in the transition to green energy on a global scale. That doesn't sound harmful to me. And carbon sequestration, I think that means the plants take in the CO2 and they give off oxygen, and the carbon is stored in the form of their plant tissues, their plant matter. But the land needed to grow all those biofuel crops may wind up cutting into food production, the expansion of protected areas, or reforestation efforts. Oh, well, we got to have those protected areas where they corral us all into high-rise coffin apartment buildings. Oh, gosh. Well, there's some comments here. I read through them this morning, and they're like the most they're very anti-UN. They're just not buying this. People saying don't depopulate the planet, just disband the UN. Get rid of the UN, not the people. I had left a comment. It was kind of funny. I thought, let me see if I can find it. Well, it's something to the effect of, you know, the UN was originally formed to prevent genocides that were happening during wars and stuff. That was how it was sold to us. We got to have constant treaties so we don't have any more genocides, and here they are essentially recommending genocide. You know, I guess they've failed their purpose, and we need to disband the UN. Anyway, I started, you know, 10 years old, the Alex Jones documentary called Endgame. You know, he's very vague because he doesn't want somebody taking it down. But he says, oh, you can find it online. You can find it online. If you have Amazon Prime, it's in Amazon Prime Video if you want to go watch it. And everything, he just pulls it all together. You see all these people out to kill you and your children, out to depopulate you. And he pulls it all together, explains how it started, what their goal is, how they're incrementing. Everything's a creeping thing. They're incrementalism. Trying to take away all your rights. And this vaccine thing going on in Oregon and New York and California and some other states is the same thing. They want the right to just off you when they choose. This is what it's all about. You're their herd. They're the cattle ranchers. And that's their attitude. Not that that's true. And but it's a legal question. It's not a medical question. And anyway. Scrolling up and down this paper, but I was kind of gone through that article. Let's see, there's the one in French, and then there's one more here I want to pull up for you, and I just saw go by. Oh, that's the same one I just wrote to you. Let's see. Oh, well, you know what? I'll find it, and I'll we'll take a quick break here.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Did you know that every time you swipe your debit card, those behind-the-scenes transaction fees make the big banks even richer? In 2016 alone, these fees added up to $60 billion. Yes, that's billion with a B. Well, what if there was a way to have the convenience of a debit card, but reroute those fees from the banksters to organizations actually doing good in the world? Organizations that protect the environment or feed hungry children? What if your swipes could literally change the world? Well, Groundswell SPC has found a way to do just that. We've designed a Visa debit card program that shares transaction fees with your favorite cause. Groundswell partners with nonprofit organizations that promote the card to their supporters. Their supporters then use the card to power the mission of the nonprofit. It's a win-win-win for everyone, except the big banks, of course. Groundswell is about to launch its first cards into market, and we're inviting you to be part of this movement as an investor in the company. Go to wefunder.com/groundswellcard to learn more. Set up a free WeFunder account and invest in Groundswell today and get your money on mission.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to talk to you about our newest sponsor, Misty'sGardens.com. Now, this is a contraption where you can grow food in your apartment, in a small patio, or if you're like me and you absolutely suck at gardening, this makes life a lot easier. It is a vertical tower garden. We can grow over 20 things at once in a small, compacted area. Good health starts with good habits, like eating wholesome foods. And with tower gardens, you can easily grow your own fresh, nutrient-rich food virtually anywhere year-round without soil. So Misty'sGardens.com, have a look at it, check it out, buy it, plant, and like it. Misty'sGardens.com.
Imagine standing barefoot on cushy grass while you use a professional-grade knife to deftly chop fresh vegetables on your organic bamboo cutting board. The team at MyZestiness.com wants to help your family enjoy home cooking like this more often. They do this by offering fun and functional tools that make your time in the kitchen more efficient and enjoyable. MyZestiness.com offers the finest and most interesting kitchen goods and accessories, all backed by their world-class customer service team. Check out their ever-expanding inventory today. Visit MyZestiness.com. That's zesty like spicy, nest like home. MyZestiness.com.
So we're back, and I found that article I was looking for, and you know, I don't want to get too morose about this. The whole point is that we're winning. The longer that we're awake and sharing these UN documents and the science that isn't science, the fraud, the legal abuse of your civil rights, as long as we're sharing this, we're not alone. We're a mass of population that they can't control. If they can divide and conquer, that's the whole thing, to make you feel alone and divide and conquer. That's why they got away with this kind of stuff for hundreds of years. The whole vaccine thing is it's like 300 years old, this whole paradigm of injecting disease to prevent disease. And it, you know, might have worked. Injecting cowpox tricked your body into thinking it had smallpox already, and the antibodies you had for smallpox would work against, I'm sorry, for cowpox would work against smallpox, and that's all well and good. But then they started juicing them up with aluminum and thimerosal, mercury, and all kinds of stuff, and just adding to the agenda. And the whole purpose really was to make you sick. The whole attack on natural medicine, it's just to feed their well to to feed their profits, but to take control of other people's health. And the arrogance is just astounding, absolutely astounding. You know. Anyway, so this is published today by Mike Adams himself, The Annihilation Agenda, Why Globalists Are Actively Working to Exterminate 90% of the Human Race. Globalists are actively working to exterminate 90% of the human race, telling themselves that eliminating quote-unquote useless eaters, which is what we referenced before, is the only way to quote-unquote save the planet. The annihilation of the vast majority of humans on planet Earth is now openly advocated by left-wing influencers and the wealthy elite, including Bill Gates, Ted Turner, and even comedians like Bill Maher, who just want people to, quote, not have kids, die, and stay dead, unquote. That's Bill Maher. Anyway, he's not referencing the UN. He should have there. As he argued that humans hurt the environment, he concluded that it would be better for Earth for more people to not have kids, die, and stay dead, reports newsbusters.org. Understand that deranged leftists really believe, and by that he just means fascist, I think. Fascist leftists, same thing, control you and your life. Really believe that the planet will be destroyed if humans, they don't really believe it. They're deranged. They, I guess if they reject truth, that's all that's left for them is to believe is lies. They believe the planet will be destroyed if humans are allowed to survive much longer. Left-wing nutcase Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez warns that planet Earth only has 12 more years. Now, I don't know where she got that number. Pulled it out of her butt. I don't know, before it will be destroyed by quote-unquote climate change, a completely fabricated junk science narrative invented by power-hungry leftists who are almost universally illiterate in the realm of real science. You mad scientists exposed, we're exposing them. Because leftists truly believe humans are a threat to the planet, they have no qualms whatsoever about calling for the mass genocide of human beings around the world. After all, they are trying to quote-unquote save the planet, they tell themselves, which means in their minds the ends justify the means. Now, I don't think we even have the means to destroy the planet. You know, I don't think we could do it if we tried. All we can do is annihilate humanity. That's all we can do. And that's very evil, very Satanist. Watch the Annihilation Agenda video at this link on counterthink.com or see the video below. He's got this... because YouTube has been censoring so much about natural health and everything, he's launched his own video platform called Brighteon.com, and that's where this, I'm not sure where this video goes. Anyway, Washington State about to legalize the composting of human corpses to recycle them into the food supply. Well, that's pretty disgusting. Soylent Green, anybody? Look up the movie, Charlton Heston. At the end, they're dragging him off, and he's yelling, it's people, Soylent Green is people. And Soylent Green is some kind of green food pill they've been taking. You know, global annihilation agenda is ramping up. Laws are now being pushed that will allow governments to efficiently dispose of billions of bodies by, quote-unquote, recycling them back into the food supply. Oh, there he says, Soylent Green, anyone? In the state of Washington, for example, a new human composting bill has been passed by the State House and Senate. Once signed into law, it would allow human corpses to be liquefied and flushed into the sewer system. From there, biosludge is collected by every city in America, including Seattle, where it is dehydrated and trucked out to the rural farms in surrounding areas. There, it's dumped on farm fields after being dishonestly labeled free fertilizer for farmers. You know, I just want to go take a break, run into the bathroom, and vomit. This is disgusting. This is all explained in my jaw-dropping film, Biosludged, available for free at biosludged.com, biosludged.com. You can watch the film or even download the raw video files and share the files on torrents if you wish. Effectively, what this means is that human corpses are going to be, quote-unquote, recycled back into the food supply in Washington. You know, this kind of recursive thing can only mean a declining population. This is not sustainable. Soylent Green is not sustainable. You have to have plant growth bringing in, the energy from the sun into the plant growth. And that feeds all your vegetables, and that feeds the vegetables that feed the meat that you eat. Soon this will be authorized across America. It's one of the necessary steps before the globalists unleash their quote-unquote kill switch biological weapon that's designed to kill off at least 90% of the global population. Once that is accomplished, human labor will be replaced with automated robots, while armed Google suicide drones seek out and exterminate the human survivors living in the rubble of cities like Seattle, which is already nearly a third world city anyway, thanks to failed liberal economic policies. Well, yeah, I guess that's true. But I'm not sure what the point of all that is. I mean, the whole point of factory services is to serving robots doesn't make sense to me. So this is truly delusional. Not by Mike Adams, by the people he's exposing. There's no point in robots serving robots. Robots are tools to humanity. It's not the other way around. Anyway, the U.S. government must find a way to exterminate the masses, this is a headline in this, subheadline in this article, or it will be financially wiped out by 2035. Well, that's insane. What many people don't realize yet is that the governments of the world have made too many different promises that simply cannot be met if human beings are allowed to survive. Exterminating 90% of the population is now deemed, quote-unquote, a necessary step to keep those governments financially solvent by erasing trillions in financial obligations such as retirement pensions, Medicare, and Social Security. So they're just going to off you. Off you. As the Wall Street Journal now reports, the Social Security Administration, SSA, goes cash flow negative in 2020, that's just next year, and will be completely looted and penniless by 2035, even as it owes trillions to future entitlement recipients, people who've paid in. By 2035, the trust funds for both programs will be depleted, and Social Security will no longer be able to pay its full scheduled benefits unless Congress steps in to shore up the program, reports the Wall Street Journal. Quote, more broadly, rising Social Security and Medicare costs are also expected to weigh on the federal budget. Both programs together account for 45% of federal spending, excluding interest payments on the national debt, and have contributed to larger deficits that are set to exceed $1 trillion a year starting in 2020. And so this is why the U.S. What is it called? Lifespan expectancy. Life expectancy has been declining because that's the whole point of vaccines, is to kill off people early, and then they can just stop paying the Social Security. The welfare state is obviously unsustainable. If the masses, and Social Security isn't even welfare, people pay into this. If the masses are allowed to live, they will eventually overthrow the governments that fail to keep their entitlement promises. The answer to all this, globalists will unleash a bioweapon that kills off 90% of the human population. And make no mistake, they mean this. They carved it in stone in the Georgia Guidestones, which is this weird monument carved in eight languages with 10 satanic commandments on it. And the first of which is reduce and keep the world population to 500 million total for the whole world. Okay, so you do the math, and what are we, about 7 billion now? 500 million of 7 billion works out to over 90% that they want to exterminate. After all, people who are dead no longer receive government benefits. That's how genocide becomes a matter of public policy and government self-preservation. I cover this in much more detail in next week's Counterthink episode. So he's got the show that he runs on Brighteon, and he also runs it. InfoWars runs it for him too. They collaborate. They have their own media empires, but they do collaborate once in a while. And this show once a week is one of them. Watch the Annihilation Agenda, one of the last four Counterthink episodes to be produced. I don't think he's going to stop producing Counterthink episodes. I think he means one of the most recent Counterthink episodes to be produced. The Annihilation Agenda is one of the last four most recent Counterthink episodes that will be produced. Maybe he does mean that. Maybe he's going to stop doing this show. Maybe he does mean that. That's because I'm launching a new video series called Food Forensics, which will examine the criminal food industry and its toxic ingredients using laboratory forensic science. So, okay, good for him. That means Counterthink is ending its run. Watch the Annihilation Agenda below and share the following link everywhere. So if you go to naturalnews.com, right now this is the top article on naturalnews.com, the Annihilation Agenda, why globalists are actively working to exterminate 90% of the human race. You scroll to the bottom, there's this article here, and then he's got the video. Anyway, and he's got links to, he's got a media empire, he's got links to depopulation.news, and what's the other one? Collapse.news. Well, some of his website's broken. I guess he'll have to come fix it. But he's got some others. But that's one thing smart that he's doing. He's got all these different articles, and he's got writers working for him, scientists and things. But by having so many domain names, they can't take them all out at once, because that is part of the agenda. That's why all the censorship, because they don't want us talking to each other, warning each other when the vaccine goon squads are coming to your village. They don't want, you know, they don't want us warning each other when they're going to come arrest us and throw us in jail for not getting the latest MMR because you don't have the paperwork anymore that you had it 50 years ago when you were a kid, you know, the measles disease, anything like that. I'm pretty sure that the pediatricians I saw when I was a kid, I think I've well outlived them. Medical shocker, MMR vaccine dangers exposed by FDA study. Whoa. This is dated yesterday. S.D. Wells, writing for Natural News, purposely give your 3 to 4 month old young baby gastrointestinal illness and upper respiratory distress? Up your chances of sickening your child with these serious health crises by 40 to 60% simply by getting a nurse or doctor to inject the so-called safe and effective MMR vaccine? Yes, the measles, mumps, and rubella shot, or choose any of them separate too, and the results are virtually the same. This is according to the FDA and a vaccine trial run on American kids. A shockingly high percentage of the children tested suffered extreme illness just days and weeks after receiving the same vaccine New York Governor Bill Adolph de Blasio wants to utilize in order to force vaccinate all the Orthodox Jews who all know better and opt out using religious exemptions. The insidious CDC has been fully exposed only thanks to a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act, and now the MMR may be considered the third most dangerous vaccine known to mankind, running close behind the deadly HPV vaccine and the famously defective mercury-laden flu jab influenza vaccine. Dale Bigtree exposes the misinformation spewed by the CDC and the mass media as they claim all vaccine safety advocates are, quote-unquote, anti-vaxxers. We're X-vaxxers. X-vaxxers. We've learned our lesson. Out of just over 100 children tested, 64% suffered upper respiratory illness from the MMR vaccine within just days or weeks of getting injected with its toxins, including some stranger's abortion cells that get genetically modified in a lab, monosodium glutamate, yes, MSG, gelatin from pigs, urea, that's animal urine, and neomycin, an antibiotic that, when injected, causes adverse events like loss of coordination, deep urination, hearing problems, and trouble walking. And I've seen people, I personally know somebody who went deaf after a flu vaccine, although I can't tell her. I can just watch the patterns. Out of just over 100 children tested, 43% suffered from gastrointestinal illness from the MMR vaccine within just days or weeks of getting injected with its toxins, including chick embryo cell cultures. You just want that in your bloodstream, don't you? Cow blood, bovine serum, recombinant human albumin, that's genetically mutated human blood cells, and sorbitol, a slick synthetic agent. We're talking about babies 3 to 5 months of age contracting deadly illnesses due to the MMR vaccine. And then when these babies do die, it's always blamed on SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, or irresponsible parenting. Ever heard of the vaccine queen in China who poisoned 500,000 children with faulty vaccines? Mutated immunity exposed as unsafe by the FDA. Tell us again, please, who's spreading misinformation. There's nothing safe and effective about a vaccine that contains the many known neurotoxins and causes rates that high of respiratory and gastrointestinal illnesses. I'm just checking my phone because I just kind of dropped it on the floor. And I want to make sure I'm still connected. Looks like I am. Anyway, this goes on. It's fascinating. And they have embedded video here from Del Bigtree's talk, New World Order, NoWorldOrder.com. And this, I'm recognizing the screenshot. This is from Del Bigtree's The High Wire channel on YouTube. And I'm glad people are spreading it around, downloading and re-uploading it. Tune in to vaccines.news for more ways to protect your family from the most insidious fake medicine ever created. Well, this goes on and on. So this is all kind of pathetic and sad, and but the fact that we can warn each other means forewarned is forearmed is the old saying that you just figure out your strategies for not letting them inject you and your kids. If you have to move states, you do that. It's that important. If you if you have to arm yourself, it's that important. In defense of your family, they come to your door, you don't open the door, you know? Anyway, so this goes on. Let's see. I should pick something happier, maybe. Just the fact that we're winning. Why don't I try over here? It's spelled it right. Informed Consent Action Network. And it's video. We are making a difference. ICANN is actively pursuing several avenues to improve the health and well-being of our population by exposing shortcomings with our vaccine program. He's way too kind. It's fraud. HHS notice. This notice sent to HHS Health and Human Services articulates the complete failure of HHS to conduct the proper science required to demonstrate vaccine safety. Additionally, ICANN lays out the provisions of the 1986 Act that legally requires HHS to conduct science that reduces the risk of all vaccine injury. Failure to do so could result in legal action against HHS. So, I mean, they admitted that they're not doing the science. And so I guess this is just a reiteration that you better. So this is dated last December. Vaccine safety. ICANN spent months researching the state of vaccine safety in the United States. The shocking result of this effort was presented to the heads of the National Institutes of Health with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in May of 2017. The information contained in that presentation has been distilled into an easy-to-read, thorough white paper that goes through many of the shortcomings and failures of the vaccine safety program. And this is all available from the front page of ICANNDecide.org. This is 34 pages. I'm not going to read it to you, but it's this white paper provides an introduction to vaccine safety science and policy in the United States. Good for them. Let's see. And aluminum adjuvants. The Centers for Disease Control asserts that vaccines and vaccine ingredients have been disproven as potential causes of autism. Statements by the CDC are generic and encompass all vaccines and vaccine ingredients. These statements are not supported by available science. ICANN looked into the possible role aluminum adjuvants play in the development of autism and created a white paper explaining how this devastating disorder may be triggered by vaccines. Yeah, let's see, I'll pull this up. And how many pages is this one? This is 23 pages. Autism and aluminum adjuvants in vaccines, how aluminum adjuvants in vaccines can cause autism. And this is published August 18th of 2017. But these are substantial white papers. And if you need white papers to throw at people, the science is on your side. If you don't want to vaccinate, the science is on your side. And you can hand these to anybody that asks. Just keep these things bookmarked in your phone, ICANNDecide.org and Children's Health Defense, .org. You could also bookmark the CDC pink paper, it's called, Pink Book of let's see, if you just go to DuckDuckGo, I don't use Google. They lie. They have agendas. I don't want to do that. So if you just go to DuckDuckGo, vaccine adjuvants, no, it's called, not called adjuvants. They're called excipients. E-X-C-I-P-I-E-N-T. Vaccine excipients, site colon cdc.gov. And it should give you this pink paper. Yep. Vaccine excipient and media summary. It gives you all the ingredients in all the vaccines. And you can go through there with a yellow marker and highlight everything that says human diploid in it. Anything that says human diploid is other people's aborted children that they want you to inject into your own children. It's like a third to a half of all vaccines have other people's aborted children in them, which is forced cannibalism. You're not supposed to know about this, but this is cannibalism. And, you know, we're not playing. This is cannibalism is just this whole thing is so awful. I keep saying I want to go barf, you know, but we need to tell each other so that we're not subjected to this. We need to tell each other, keep this bookmarked in your phone too. All I did is I went to DuckDuckGo and I typed in vaccine excipient and then site cdc.gov. That's how you force it to search a specific website, say site, S-I-T-E colon, and then the domain name that you're searching. And you can get right to it. Any doctor gives you a hard time, you keep this, you know, bookmarked in your phone, pull up cdc.gov and say, well, I don't want to inject aluminum into my kids, and I don't want to inject other people's aborted children into my children. You know, we don't do cannibalism in our house. No, no, no. They can't argue because there it is. There's the science right in front of them. I saw a recent thing on, you know, Facebook, the same old story. This nurse came in with a tray full of needles that she was going to jab into this woman's baby. And the woman said, no, we're not doing that. And I'm not signing your stinking paper either that I acknowledge I'm damaging my child by not vaccinating. I'm not signing that. And the doctor came in and tried to really tried to bully her. And the woman was very articulate and saying, well, when you can't answer this science question, this science question, this science question, that science question, then we'll talk, you know. But of course, the doctor immediately dismissed her, you know, fired her as a patient, quote unquote, which is ridiculous because the doctor works for you. But I just got into that thread. I said, look, why don't we just all keep this bookmarked in our phones and then you can show these ingredients to the doctors. If you don't want to, you know, if you're Jewish or Muslim and you don't want to inject pork serum into your children, it's you can find it here, porcine. Is what it's called. You have to translate this stuff. And DuckDuckGo is a pretty good medical dictionary. They got rid of medical.reference.com, medical.dictionary.com when you know, vaccine skeptics started sharing links around. You know, well, if you wanted to find this term, just go here. So they had to get rid of that because they want us dumb. They want us as their dumbed down cattle, their herd, you know, which is just so offensive. And, you know, DuckDuckGo, I haven't found them playing those games yet. And in fact, turned out to be DuckDuckGo itself turned out to be a better medical dictionary than this medical.dictionary.com, which is, they deleted that whole thing. So you don't even have that option anymore, but the DuckDuckGo works really well. So anyway, I think I should take another commercial break. And as soon as I find the right tab, I'll be right back.
Are you looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here. The check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
How would you like to make your work more enjoyable, be more creative and relaxed, all while sitting at your desk? That's exactly what my Serenity Rug has done for me. This revolutionary footrest, I can't even call it a footrest, because this thing encourages movement of your feet, which results in more blood flow. While traditional footrests advocate the motionless placement of your feet, I found that I'm unconsciously digging my feet into the long, soft grass strands of the Serenity Rug. It delivers an incredibly relaxing sensation that closely resembles the feeling of an exotic foot massage. If you have ever had a foot massage that made you want to stay there for hours, you know what I'm talking about. If you have not heard about the Serenity Rug, check them out at serenityrug.com and join the exclusive Serenity Rug community and enjoy a feeling of comfort and relaxation that most will never experience. They've sold out before, so I suggest you do your feet a favor and grab one of these. Again, that's serenityrug.com.
Do you want to live a happy and healthy barefoot lifestyle? Join Barefoot is Legal Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to learn your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. There are no laws against bare feet in public, and we are here to dispel the myths and empower you to stand up for your rights. Join full-time barefooter and victims legal advocate Nick Pierce on Freedomizer Radio or the Barefoot is Legal radio show Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. Eastern, 10:30 a.m. Pacific. And check out barefootislegal.org.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
So, if we're going to be turning our backs on this medical establishment that profits from our illness, most of them are not aware. Most doctors are people who truly want to help, but they're not aware of the people at the very, 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 very top that after profiting so much, what they really want to do is extinguish mankind. And I mentioned the Georgia Guidestones. I don't think it's a mistake that it's within a two-hour drive of the CDC. I think the certain Satanists at the top, the certain people who just evil, just pure evil people, I think they had that monument put up. I think they might go and maybe they do their nightly full moon rituals or whatever they do at this weird, it kind of looks like Stonehenge kind of thing with these treatises treating mankind as a parasite to the earth. Essentially, it almost says so. Yeah, and you can pull up the whole sayings of it in Wikipedia has it transcribed, and I don't know, if they do all the languages, but supposedly all the languages say what the English says, so you can, and the Spanish, so you can go read it over there. And anyway, so it's not just the vaccines that they want to come get us with. I mean, all the pharmaceuticals out there, they can mask symptoms like blood pressure and that kind of stuff, but they're not actually healing you, because to heal you means you stop taking whatever it is they're prescribing and their profit goes down. So if there's profit all involved in this, if I've totally lost faith in the pharmaceutical industry. So I don't go to MDs because all they can prescribe, all they're allowed to prescribe are pharmaceuticals, and I'm likely to be a non-compliant patient unless it's a short-term thing, a super short-term thing that and even prescribing antibiotics, they're short-term, but you're damaging the ecosystem of the planet, encouraging antibiotic-resistant microbes to develop by taking these things. Anyway, but you need to get into a different paradigm if you're going to walk away from Western pharmaceutical science. So you need to start educating yourself. And there's different modalities. There's herbalism. There's people that are really heavy into homeopathy, and they swear it works. It's not something I understand, so I can't get into that paradigm. But they say it works for them, and if it works for you, great. You have to go educate yourself on it, because I can't. You know, it's not up to – you need to take ownership of your health. And by you taking ownership, that means that these state legislators, they don't have ownership of your health. If you're taking ownership of your health and your family's health, they can't tell you that you have to inject vaccines, which is totally outside your paradigm. They're in a false paradigm, because we know how sick they make people. But, you know, herbs are one way. It's like, if you believe that humanity is totally integrated with nature, because we are spawned by life on Earth, we are part of life on Earth. Life on Earth is integrated with each other. You know, the plants of the forest feed the roving deer populations and bear populations, the berries and the fish, and it's all intertwined. And as long as things are in balance, they're fine. You know, every species continues. Now, it's possible we've thrown some things out of balance, but we're not the parasites, the outright parasites that the UN wants to call us. We just need to figure out how to rebalance stuff, and that's fine. And one way to rebalance stuff is certainly we stop with the antibiotics, and we use other modalities to cure infections. And one way that works really well, and I've used it several times, is this microcurrent thing. And if you look up Hulda Clark Zappers, there was this woman, Dr. Hulda Clark, and she died a few years ago. In her old age, she lived a good long life, but she was promoting a modality that's like a throwback from the late 1800s, before Big Pharma got its jaws on us. And if you run a microcurrent, it's barely perceptible. I can't feel it. I have one of these. They're called zappers. But my mom could feel it, and my daughter could feel it. But it's mild. It didn't irritate them or anything like that. It's just mild. I can't really feel it. But it does make me just really relax and go to sleep. But it kills germs. And, I've used it when people I knew had the flu got in my face. I've gone home, and I've eaten a bunch of garlic and used the zapper, and I didn't get the flu from them. And now I know vitamin C works really well, too. So now if I were to do that, again, I would throw a bunch of oranges on top of that. Anyway, so this and Mike Adams has the same, I guess, premise. If we're going to denounce the harm that pharmaceuticals do, particularly vaccines, then we need to know how to take care of ourselves. We need to take ownership, and that's really all that can happen. We, you know, having a pyramid structure of a few elites in white robes, white lab coats at the top that we bow to, that's a form of idolatry. And it's one reason that Judaism and Christianity say you shall not worship idols. If you give your power to somebody else, that's a form of idolatry. There's no human being above you on the planet as to ownership of your life. There is none. And by steering you towards honoring God, you're honoring God as the one who designed all the intertwined nature and the balances of nature. But by deferring to God, that means that there's no human being between you and God. It's you, the owner of your own health. And so Mike Adams is acknowledging this too, because he's got other websites up called one is called herbs.news. I don't know if he's got a what's the homeopathy. I don't know if he's got one on that, but he's got this huge website with a lot of articles. And this one I find particularly interesting. Lemongrass protects the body from oxidative stress and keeps heart disease at bay. Now, lemongrass supposedly tastes a lot like lemony citrus stuff. And I've kind of noticed that if I just take vitamin C powder, ascorbic acid powder, and dissolve it in some water and drink it, it's got a really sour lemony taste, you know. I could sweeten it up by throwing a little bit of fruit in the water or something and pretend it's a juice. But I'm pretty sure that's what that lemongrass, I think, is full of vitamin C. Because if I'll go through the article with you, but just so in sync with it being a source of high vitamin C. Lemongrass protects the body from oxidative stress, keeps heart disease at bay. And this is by Michelle Simmons, dated April 15th, which is a week ago yesterday. Lemongrass, scientifically known as Cymbopogon citratus, is a popular herb added to food and drink mainly because of its uniquely fresh and citrusy flavor. In addition to being a flavor enhancer, this herb also offers many health benefits. A new study shows that the essential oil extracted from lemongrass can help keep the heart healthy thanks to its antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties. And vitamin C does all that too. In the study, a team of researchers at the University of Madras and Priest University in India looked at the therapeutic properties of lemongrass essential oil and evaluated its ability to protect cells from harmful agents. To do this, the research team induced cytotoxicity in peripheral blood mononuclear cells, which caused modified low-density lipoprotein LDL cholesterol. When LDL cholesterol and reactive oxygen species build up in the arteries, it can damage the endothelium, resulting in atherosclerosis. I'm sorry. It is a disease wherein plaque builds up inside the arteries. In addition, the researchers also assessed the electron donating capability of lemongrass essential oil and compared it with L-ascorbic acid. Well, I think you're getting L-ascorbic acid or ascorbic acid, vitamin C, in the essential oil. I think that's what's giving it its citrusy flavor. Based on the results of the study, lemongrass essential oil showed powerful antioxidant activity against modified LDL in peripheral blood mononuclear cells, exhibiting free radical scavenging activity and eliminating reactive oxygen species. Keeps the rust out of your blood, I think. In addition, its antioxidant activity was greater compared to the standard L-ascorbic acid. Lemongrass essential oil also exhibited cytoprotective properties against modified LDL in peripheral blood mononuclear cells. In addition, I think that repeated itself. In addition, the researchers found that it has anti-inflammatory properties as it inhibited the destruction of red blood cells. This is like right down the line what vitamin C does. I've been watching vitamin C videos. So from these findings, the researchers concluded that lemongrass essential oil may be used to protect against coronary artery diseases such as atherosclerosis because of its powerful antioxidant, cytoprotective, and anti-inflammatory properties. The findings of the study were published in the journal Food Science and Human Wellness. Lemongrass essential oil also lowers cholesterol levels. And this is straight out of vitamin C too. Chronic inflammation can result in a higher risk for cardiovascular disease, but this may be suppressed by lemongrass essential oil due to its anti-inflammatory properties, according to a study published in the Journal of Food and Chemical Toxicology. In the study, Indian researchers treated laboratory animals with lemongrass essential oil extract at doses of 5 micrograms MCG or 10 micrograms. The results revealed that the lemongrass essential oil extract treatments substantially increased the activity of superoxide dismutase and glutathione peroxidase, both of which are potent antioxidants. In addition, both doses of lemongrass essential oil extracts reduced the levels of molecules that promote inflammation. In particular, lemongrass essential oil reduced levels of melandialdehyde, a marker of oxidized lipids in certain white blood cells linked to atherosclerosis. In another study, researchers treated rats with a daily oral dose of 125 to 500 milligrams of lemongrass essential oil for 42 days. The results showed that the treatment reduced LDL or bad cholesterol levels while increasing high-density lipoprotein HDL, or good cholesterol levels. Lemongrass essential oil can also reduce cholesterol levels due to its terpenoids, according to another study published in the Journal of Food and Chemical Toxicology. terpenoid compounds in this herb, such as geraniol, and citral, prevent the production of mevalonic acid, which is an intermediary in the production of cholesterol. These compounds might also be helpful not only for regulating cholesterol levels, but also for managing diabetes and obesity, according to a Japanese study published in the journal PPAR Research. If you want to try lemongrass essential oil for improving your cholesterol levels, you can take as high as 3.5 grams per kilogram of body weight, which is considered non-toxic. You can also consume the herb by infusing its leaves, which contain 0.4% essential oil, and hot water to make lemongrass tea. Related, lemongrass tea boosts the production of red blood cells, making it a great natural treatment for anemia. Read more news stories and studies on the protective effects of lemongrass essential oil on the heart by going to essentialoils.news. So he kind of nests these. You kind of got to like bookmark them when you see them, because it's hard. He's got so many domain names, it's hard to remember. So he's got, these are all related. He's got essentialoils.news, herbs.news, ChineseMedicine.news, and I believe Mike Adams' wife is Chinese, healing.news, remedies.news, essentialoils.news, I think I read that, and hempscience.news. So this is pretty good. If you go to herbs.news, these are linked across the top. Chinese medicine. Yeah. So if you want to take up Chinese medicine, I have a friend who's trained in Chinese medicine, and she's also an acupuncturist. And, you know, it's all these herbs, and I think this is related to the vitamins, you know, vitamin C and all that. Anyway, whatever's ailing you, you can find something online to treat it, particularly if it's viral related. You know, I told my son, was like 4 or 5 years ago when he first went away to college, they were having the first Ebola outbreak of, you know, the mid-2010s. And I said, look, they're going to be coming for you with an Ebola vaccine. They're already like upping the number of vaccines that they want to force onto college students. I said, they're going to be coming for you. You remember, you know, you tell them hell no. And, you know, you remember the Zapper. And now I'm also aware of the vitamin C studies that they haven't found a virus yet the vitamin C can't kill. So, you know, I saw this coming, and I, you know, been reading ever since, because when they launch these pandemics on us, we want to be able to defend ourselves, and we don't want to take their solutions for what they launched on us. It just doesn't make sense. So anyway, I'm hearing the notice in my ears that our time is just about up. And, you know, I always kind of like run out of time, but I find these articles so fascinating. You know, I just want to share them all with you, and you can find them, and you'll find more than I found. And you'll start connecting the dots as to, well, okay, well, why does this work and why does that work? And the lemongrass and the vitamin C, I think, are totally related. And y'all have a great week, and don't let them scare you, okay? That fungus thing they're trying to launch on us, forget about it. Get a plant light. You know, I'm convinced that I had it last year. It was just awful. And anyway, and I stumbled on this plant light thing. So don't let them scare you with this stuff. God is good. Nature is good. And we're integrated with nature. We just got to find our answers. So talk to you next week.